Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Have you ever heard Barbara Streisand's version of Jingle Bells?
Yeah, jingle bell, jingle bell.
It's wild.
It's so fast.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, a time at a time. Like, that's
so,
so
good.
Crazy.
It's so good.
It's amazing. Like, I do feel like we're on a one-horse open sleigh with that.
Laughing all the way.
It's great. It's a pretty top-notch Xmas song. Ooh. That sounds awkward. Why did I even get started at a brief?
Because people don't necessarily want to say Christ. Yes.
The war on Christmas rages across the fruited plain as godless wrenches try to take Christ out of Christmas.
So then don't put in the name. Like, whoever created the name Christmas knew what they were doing.
Well, Xtina, like Aguilera, I love.
Right.
Hey!
Xtina. Hello, what up? It's me, Ms. J. Willie, aka Ms. J. Silly, aka Ms. J. Billy Joel, on the mic with my number one queen, Miss Phoebe Robinson.
Hi.
And we are here with another new hot episode. We've got special guests Rebecca O'Neill, Vanessa Bayer, and Eliza Skinner.
Ooh, mama, strap in.
And make sure you strap it on. Hi!
Oh my gosh.
This is hot. Holy shit.
Everyone's standing.
Yeah, this is insane.
That's crazy. This is like what Rosa Parks wanted, a bunch of white people standing.
That's right.
That's what she wanted.
That's right.
Great.
This show tonight is all for Rosa. Every single thing we talk about is for her. Trash. She's like, I don't want it.
First of all, before we get started, this outfit, give it up for Jessica. Take your pictures, pose. And pose, and pose,
and serve, and serve, and hit it out the motherfucking park and pick up the ball again.
And then you kicked it.
Well, hey, what's up? Oh,
we fucked up already.
I know, that's okay.
That's okay. That's what we do.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to Two Dope Queens. And we are live at the Bell House in Brooklyn. Our home. It's so nice to be back.
It's so good to be back.
Yeah. We've been doing a lot of traveling.
Yeah, a lot of traveling. And I have a boyfriend now. of 3 months. He's British, so I call him British Bake Off. And he's a tour manager, and so he had a couple of months off. So he came out to Croatia with me for work, and then he came back to New York, and we were just living together for like 5 or 6 weeks.
Oh,
it was
fuck.
Like really cool.
It was good?
It was great.
Oh, shit. I was already like, girl, that was a great relationship while I was
That's great.
But it was cool? Like,
yeah.
How was it?
It was good. I mean, we started dating and then like for a month, and then I left to go shoot this movie, and then we didn't see each other in person for 2 months. Mm-hmm. So it just felt like great. We got to just like come back and like hang out. We just like, he's really into the Goldbergs, so he kept like...
Oh, it's him and him.
Yeah, so he kept like trying to sneak watch it and kept fucking up my Hulu watch list, and that was like... That was the biggest source of tension,
yeah.
But, you know.
Oh, that's so fucking good. That's great. I actually live across the street from my boyfriend. It's very cute. And I find that we don't live together, but we do. I like the sort of option of being like, ooh, I'm going to do the home thing by myself tonight. The home thing is just like watching Buffy and playing The Sims. But I do like that our living room is like the street downstairs.
Yeah.
And there's something like very Clarissa Explains It All about it. Or like the friend crawls up through the ladder. Yeah.
Do you think you guys will ever live together?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, definitely. But I really
you
like my space.
When...
I know. I really like my space. I mean, yes, but right now I just really like sort of having my own space and painting my walls pink and shit like that.
Are you painting?
I am.
That's
painting.
Cool.
I mean, I'm not gonna paint that shit, but I will definitely task rabbit that.
Oh, you're paying someone to do it.
Yeah, but
that's why I sound surprised. I'm like, that doesn't seem like a thing that you would do.
I like that you were like, oh, that's so exciting for you, that just conceptually painting.
Right.
No, I tried it once. I always like set myself up for really big projects.
Yeah.
And then I get overwhelmed and then I just stop. So I've definitely painted my own wall before. Back when I lived in like a 10 foot by like 10 foot studio apartment, I had one job and I had to paint one wall purple.
Yeah.
And it took me a month and a half because I didn't realize a lot of painting is like this. And then it's like waiting for things to dry, airing things, and then coming back. So it just took me a really long time.
So you didn't realize the process of painting was painting?
No.
Got it.
And when I... But the thing...
You described
don't drag
the whole,
my body.
No.
Don't drag my body.
You described the whole process. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's what you think painting was.
That's one of those things where I love YouTube tutorials. So I'll be the first one to fucking go on a home improvement YouTube tutorial. And it's always some like... white dad from like Little Rock who's fucking 45 making that shit seem like it's the easiest thing ever, but it's exhausting. It's terrible. It's like my
one wall?
It's oppressive to me. It's my struggle. It's my civil rights movement.
You have a very blessed life if painting one wall is your struggle. I'm pretty sure Rosa would be like, you're not a part of our movement.
No, I'm a part of it. I'd be like, Rosa, I tried to paint my wall. It was difficult. Yeah. I misread the YouTube tutorial video where they explicitly showed me the process of painting. But anyway, I have like 10 pink squares across my
main wall. That's great. That's really
cute. Thinking about committing fully. Have you painted before?
I have. I'm saving up to buy a place, so I don't want to paint and then have to repaint when I move out. So right now I just have like wall art. Like I have stuff you giving me, stuff Chanel's giving me, just hanging on my walls and like that's it.
That's dope.
And then the craziest thing that I have hanging up, which is weird, is so you guys know on social media, I'm always just like, Justin Trudeau's hot and I like don't, like I know that he's probably problematic and like I've read the headlines, but I'm like, got it, not gonna read the article. So I don't know why he's problematic, but I understand that he's apparently not good at his job, which I'm like, shocker, not really. But he signed a picture, like a headshot of himself, and had it sent to me. So that's just hanging by like my bathroom entrance.
Is it like a good photo?
Yeah, it's a good photo. It's like, to Phoebe, wishing you the best. Which is, it's a very like, he wrote that while he's taking a dump. But it's just
that's
like,
cute.
It's nice that he did it. So that's like outside my bathroom. I just look at that and go, LOL. Like, it's a nice picture. I don't think it's trash.
Cool, so I like beautiful trash.
You're great.
One of the things being, I have it on my wall. It's like this tiny plate that looks like an old-timey, like, British, like, doily, and then it just says cooch right across the middle, and it's very delightful. My friend Christine got it for me.
That's cute.
But it's just, like, just gorgeous, but also my mom walks in, and it's like, Once I saw my cleaning lady, she grabbed it, and she washed it, and she put it, like, in the dryer for like all of my plates and shit. And I was like, oh no, she thought I was actually eating off of that. That was like such a waste of her fucking time.
That's sweet.
Yeah, she's a sweet lady.
Yeah, a cleaning lady. How's that going? You guys have a good relationship?
Oh, the best. Yeah. I've had her for 4 years, 5 years maybe. She was with me through that painting wall saga. And I think I have found the most intimate thing about my cleaning lady is that she has found things that I've been like, oh shit. Like, she's found like dirty underwear. She's found like condom wrappers.
Where has she found the dirty underwear?
I like to do the thing where I take my underwear off and then I grab it with my toes and I fling it up. And then sometimes I'll grab it, sometimes I'm drunk, and then it'll somehow end up under my bed. So she'll like get under there, and then I'll see it's like perfectly put away, and I'm like, oh fuck, I am so sorry, Marlena. I am so sorry. So now we just started leaving notes to each other, which is really nice.
Oh, that's good.
Do you have a house cleaner?
I do not.
You got to get Marlena because she's so sweet. She's a fucking gem.
Okay. My boyfriend got me a Dyson, so I've just been using the Dyson vac, which has been great.
But that doesn't take care of... Well, yeah, I guess that's nice.
Oh, what? Look, my dirty underwear goes directly into the hamper. That's
yeah,
it.
You're fine. You're right. You're fine.
I take it off and I immediately dump it in there and then I jump in the shower.
Oh, that's nice. You don't do any of this? You don't do that with any of your
I don't Bob Fosse
clothes.
My underwear at all. I just...
all that jazz. Anyway, you guys ready to get the show started?
Yeah! Our next act is very, very talented. She started out in Chicago. I've done shows with her, and she just recently moved to New York a month ago. You can catch her on Netflix's Easy. Please get up for Rebecca O'Neal!
Wow, I've been in New York a month and I'm already breaking shit. This is great. Okay. You guys, clap it up for yourselves. Clap it up for your wonderful host. This has been already fun as hell. I did just move here from Chicago. I feel like y'all gonna freak out every time I mention the city, or y'all like Chicago specifically? Yeah, I just moved here from here. It's pretty cool. I feel like here in New York, I'm sort of finding myself. Like, I feel like my look finally matches my personality. And my personality is like, what if Miss Frizzle was a thot? Like, that's my whole... That's me! Like, what if I was a nerd, but I also fucked a lot? You hear me? Like, okay. I like you people. I left my ex, so I had a boyfriend back in Chicago. I've been here for a month. I dumped him before I moved here. It was amicable. Y'all didn't ask. Okay, here's the thing. He's 23. I am 30. And he, right. He has a lot of energy. A bitch has her reasons. And so, yeah. So, here's the thing, though. I was calling this little rugrat daddy in bed. So, yeah, y'all. I'm into some Benjamin Button shit, apparently. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And so... I'll tell y'all why I moved here. I moved here mostly for my career, but also partially because I have a really bad stalker back in Chicago, which is not funny. It's not funny at all. And I hang out with mostly comedians, my mistake, and they all make the same joke. Rebecca, if you got this white boy, my ex was white. He's still white. And so, like, Rebecca, you got this white boy chasing after you. You must have some bomb-ass pussy, which, like, is a really ignorant statement. You shouldn't say that to somebody who's going through some trauma, but... Here's the thing, I can't endorse that statement for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's very victim-blaming. It asserts that there's something I could do positively or negatively to, like, deserve the behavior I survived. Like, pussy must be bomb. Sure, chill, because I'm ready to say some dumb shit. And, here's the thing, like, it's victim-blaming, but also, like, the pussy is okay at best. The head is amazing. Get your story straight. Like, know what you're talking about if you're going to talk about it, because you sound dumb to me right now. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. So... On the happier subjects, I gained a lot of weight in my last relationship because my ex was trying to be nice. He's like, I love you no matter what. You're beautiful no matter what you look like. My hungry ass heard that, and I'm like, dope, great news. I'm going to eat some cookies about it. And so I gained like 26, 27 quick sneaky pounds. And now I'm like, shaped like a sexy Teletubby, which I'm not mad about, but I'm like, for real, it's just, I joined the gym back in Chicago. Do you guys have Planet Fitnesses in New York? You guys are all endorsed by them? Cool. I keep asking dumb questions about New York. Like, you guys in New York, do you convert oxygen into carbon dioxide? And we do that in Chicago. Y'all do that? Like, y'all have the same shit. Okay, so I joined Planet Fitness. It's $10 a month. I'm broke, so I'm like, life hack. And so with your $10, they give you a free personal trainer. And I did not know that personal trainers were like an entire genre of man that I love. I didn't know this until... I found out there's like a whole brand of fine ass dudes who love bossy fat girls around. And I'm like, yes, because I love a sexually dominant man. So it's like a yin and yang symbiotic type relationship. So I joined Three Planet Fitnesses. I got three of them because I'm extra thorough. So I mentioned I left my ex back in Chicago. The first thing I did when I broke up with my ex, and no one has ever told a single woman to do this, the first thing I did was I bought a bunch of cardigans, and I did this for a reason. I did this because my idol, Michelle LaVon Obama, wears a lot of cardigans. Like, what a bad bitch. We don't have time. So we don't deserve her. Here's the thing. Michelle grew up on the south side of Chicago just like me. We both grew up in the murder capital part of the country, if you're familiar with, like, the news. So, like, I'm just... So we grew up very similarly, and she married a president. So I'm like, bitch, get you some cardigans. Find you a man. Like, get your life together, girl. Stop fucking around. Like, marry up. Marry rich. Here's the thing. Like, I'm very creepy about Michelle. Like, my triceps are tingling right now. That's not normal. That's not... Shouldn't be part of it. But here we are. I bet she smells like cocoa butter and jump double dutch. So good. That's all I'm saying. It's just, I am sexually attracted to her, and I need to stop saying that in public before I get put on a watch list. So, oh man, y'all are cool. Rebecca, what are you looking for in a man? Nobody asked, but I'm going to answer the fucking question. So, I'm looking for somebody who could, like, help me get weed easily and pay for my birth control. And I realized... Weed, birth control, Rebecca, what you looking for in a man is Hillary Clinton. You want to date Hillary, bitch. That's who you want to date, ain't it? We fucked that up pretty good. So here's the thing. So I am a feminist, and I mean it when I say it, but in the context of a relationship with a man, I'm not exactly straight. I consider myself a pansexual hedonist, which is, my mom would be like, you can't be that, but here we are. It's just my way of being, like, slightly slutty without people being like, Pariah Carey. So pansexual hedonist. So in the context of a relationship with a man, I get pretty submissive, and I like a man who's dominant. That's what I like. I don't fight what I like. But it's a mindfuck to be a feminist whose sexual fetish could be described as a Republican household. That's interesting. Like, can you get whiplash from cognitive dissonance? Because there's a lot going on in my brain and my pussy, y'all. I tend to like guys who are hot and dumb, okay? It's a rule I have. Somebody celebrating? Chill. Okay. Here's the thing. I mean, if I'm going to let you penetrate me, I need to be able to outsmart you. Checks and balances. Like, that's how I... One of the principles upon which our Constitution is based, how I try to live my life. That's all I'm saying. So, I briefly rejoined online dating long enough to get these bits, and I deleted the apps. So I was briefly on Tinder. I got this message from this guy. He looked super normal because they tend to. And so message had one line. The one line of that message read, I bet you got some big dumbass nipples. And I'm like, bro, what the fuck? Like, like, how am I at my house by myself covering my titties up? How did we get here? How did we get to this point? Like, how did I? Confusing. And you're never gonna find out how tiny my nipples are, you asshole. Like, I'm a person with feelings. Okay. I was on OkCupid because I got to do one about each of them. And so these dudes with 30% out of 100 match ratings will message me. And I'm like, oh, 30%? You actively looking for an enemy? You want to start a fight club? What is this shit? Like, leave me alone. So my favorite one, and then I think I'm gonna get out of here. I'm not sure. But my favorite one, I got normal message, cute picture, clicked on this page. First line of his about me, like, how you introduce yourself to the world, the first line was, every day. I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for making me the real nigga that I am. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy, because that wasn't in the Bible. So, like, I don't... Did I go out with them? Yes, I did. Like, that's what I like them hot and dumb. The heart wants what the heart wants. Know thyself. Confucius probably said that. I don't know. And, okay, I like hot dumb guys, but I'm a dumbass myself, so here we go. I like watching science fiction movies. I like smoking weed, so I'm like, bitch, you brilliant. Combine your favorite activities. Turn on my I smoke sativa, so, like, thinking man's marijuana. I had a lot of thoughts, a lot of ideas. I thought I was extremely creative and smart. So I turned on my TV guide. Shout out to my dad. He pays for my cable. Point it up. He ain't dead. So couple channels down, there was a movie on in the little title box. The movie is called Yo, Robot. And I'm high as a pie, like, hell yeah, your robot's ready to be good as hell, right? Like, post-apocalyptic future, you feel me? Like, Dirty teenagers, dystopia, Hunger Games level shit, right? Being oppressed, forced into categories by the system. Your robot protect me, all this shit. So I turn to your robot, super excited, super high, ready to watch this movie. And your robot turns out to just be iRobot in Spanish. And I'm like, all right, I see you. I see you. Like Will Smith and everything. It's the same fucking movie. Who could have seen that coming? That's all I'm saying. Did I watch the whole thing, though? See, yes, I did. You guys have been so much fun. Clap it up for your wonderful host. Goodbye.
Keep it going for Rebecca O'Neill.
This message comes from Two Dope Queens sponsor, BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/DopeQueens today to get 10% off your first month.
Show, how are you feeling? Good? So we're having a good time. I just want to pause really quick because like my mic stand is being like a little weird, so I want to get like a stage hand to come out and fix it real quick if we could. Could you really
give it up for my guest, Michelle?
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yes. I'm happy to see you again. We've been reunited.
Yes. We were together in Serbia and Croatia for, that sounds so made up.
Yeah. Yeah.
For about almost two and a half months.
Yeah. We were shooting this movie for Netflix and it was so much fun.
It was so fun.
Everyone's great.
Yes.
But... We both have diarrhea systems.
What kind of food is it?
By the way, I didn't
have
diarrhea.
Why were you getting...
Oh, that's right. You had the opposite problem.
I had the opposite problem.
Oh, you were constipated.
She was constipated. And she was drinking, like, what was it, Mucilax?
Okay, so... So I did have to ask one of the producers, because there was a producer coming over from the U.S., and they're like, let him know if there's anything you need. And I was like, can you bring me Benadryl for my bug bites, and like this one thing for my hair, and then, oh, and can you bring me Miralax, which is, you guys don't even know what it is, because you're not like 85-year-old women.
Yeah.
It's this, it's like a thing you put in your beverage, and it is supposed to make you poop. Yeah. It took me such a long time to say that, but it's...
Yeah. But yeah.
But yeah, I had to take Miralax.
What kind of food was there? Why were you backed up and running?
It was just meat.
Meat and like a lot of like,
cheese.
It was very heavy.
Everything was like a heavy.
It was like
meal.
A charcuterie, dude?
No, it was like, I don't know. Yes!
Charcuteries are like the best thing ever.
Yeah, no, we had some of that, but the other food, that was like not the majority of our diet, unfortunately. But yeah, it was just like a lot of meat, cheese,
yeah.
And dairy, and bread. And like that was
yeah,
all we were eating,
yeah.
Three meals a day.
And so don't and, you feel like me being constipated makes more sense than her having diarrhea? Not to shame you, but...
Right. But no, we figured out why I had the diarrhea, though.
We did?
Yeah, you were there, Vanessa. Oh, wait, no. You were there.
What did we figure out it was? This... Are you guys so happy you came to this?
But I'm like, this is cool.
No, but because Gillian also got diarrhea.
Was it?
And
what
so
was
the
it?
Guy was
oh,
like,
sure
so the safety guy, the safety guy comes into our like tent on set.
Oh my God, I was there, yes.
Yes. And so he goes, I hear you ladies have been having some trouble. And
what
we're
was
like,
the accent?
He had actually the best, his was my favorite accent because he had a British accent. I don't know exactly the what kind of British, but it was like the kind that they would talk on The Office.
Cool. And he goes, yeah, I heard you ladies have been having some trouble. You've been going to the bathroom
a lot.
I'm like,
accent.
We know that you know we've been shitting our brains out. So quit dancing around it. And he was like, okay, so you got to avoid all these things, all these things. And then he goes, no ice cubes in your drinks ever. And I was like, like a Raven
he
Simone.
He said, don't drink the water. He's don't drink the water. Don't have any ice cubes. Don't have any. And we've been there like for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Like,
why would you tell us now you have one job?
And so I was putting ice cubes in every single drink every single day.
Yeah.
And that's why I was shitting for like, I had diarrhea for a week straight.
That is so insane.
But we survived a year now back in New York.
I'm back in New York.
But this is you left SNL.
I did, yes.
Congratulations on your last season,
you.
By the way.
Yes. Thanks so much.
Your last episode was amazing.
Yeah. Thanks, it was so fun.
And you were nominated for an Emmy.
Yes.
Which was amazing. And I stayed up, because you flew back to LA.
How did you?
So I FaceTimed my boyfriend, and he angled his laptop facing his computer.
God.
And he had never seen the Emmys before, so we just watched it together. And it was like 4 in the morning in Croatia, and I just stayed up to watch it.
That's so nice.
But what was it like?
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah. Anything for you, honey.
It was so fun. I was so nervous that it was really bad weather in Croatia. I had to fly from Croatia. And I thought that my flight was going to get canceled so much.
Oh,
and
wow.
It did. Because remember, I got to go a day early because we had to cancel filming because the weather was so bad for a day. Anyways, you guys are like, we love hearing these logistics, but can you?
No, it adds like the trials and tribulations to get there, make it a riveting story. Joseph Campbell here is dreaming.
And so what was your favorite moment from the Emmys?
I had a lot of favorite. I mean, it was really exciting when SNL won. A couple people made fun of me because the woman, and I can't think of her name right now, from The Handmaid's Tale, who won for like
Elizabeth
best
Moss?
Best Supporting Actress.
Aunt Dowd?
Yeah.
Right?
She was sitting behind me. And so right before the commercial break before she won, I realized who she was. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm such a big fan. I'm so excited. And then her category was up next, and I didn't realize it. And then I saw that it was up next, and I was like, she's so good. And then she won, and a couple people were like, Vanessa, you acted like you won. Like, I freaked out so much. Like, I guess I'm on camera being like, and then she's like walking up, and it's like, and people were like, do you know her? But I was just so happy for her because she's been at it for a long time.
She's incredible.
She's so good.
And she did like The Leftovers that year too, which was wild, and she fucking killed it on The Leftovers.
She's amazing.
And so it was incredible to see her win for Handmaid's Tale, but
it's
also like, holy shit, that last season of Leftovers was insane.
Yeah.
No, that's
that
like,
was a real highlight.
Yeah. And that was like a great win to watch.
Oh my God.
Because she was just so, there's something so regal about Anne Dowd.
Yes. And her speech was like, do you remember her speech? She was like, I've been in the acting trade for 40 years. And like, she was so like, you were just like, yes.
Yeah.
When I'm around Phoebe, I act like her.
Yes.
We said yes so much in the movie. They were like, you're ruining takes.
Yeah. They were like, we're going to have to cut so much of this out in post. And we're like, yes.
Also, Phoebe learned the Serbian word for girl so that she could just be like, girl. But so she'd be like, devojko. And they'd be like, that's not really how we...
Yeah.
But then we started doing it.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, there's a black person here. I'm going to go, devojko. And they all got into it. They were like, this is fun.
They got into it.
Yeah, they loved it.
And I, the only phrase that I learned was, Yasem Savershena, which means I'm perfect. So I could just say that all the time.
And then my favorite phrase in Serbian is, Slušaj kučko, ja sam chef, which means listen, bitch, I'm the boss. But
we actually learned a lot of Serbian by the time.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, we kept like practicing in public. So I'd be like, kučko, kučko. People be like, why aren't you saying bitch in the mall like so much?
It was so fun to go to the mall. It really felt
It was like home. It was our saving grace. I think, like,
yes.
You know, when you're like away, especially when you're away shooting a movie or something, you're not like around your friends or like your routine. You really just cling on to things that are most like your routine back home. And so for us, it was like
the mall. Well, yeah. we're also both from Cleveland, which is crazy. And also, you know, we've got great malls in Cleveland. Yeah. I mean, if you can imagine.
That's Cleveland. But do you miss SNL? Like, how are you feeling?
How am I feeling? I feel good. I do. I went to the show last weekend.
Ooh,
yes, and fun. I sat in the audience for the first time, which was so exciting.
Cool. Was it weird to be, like, watching it?
It actually was interesting to see it from, like, that perspective. But it was cool to watch it. Like, it was just really fun to get to see how everything kind of comes together. Because even when you're on the stage, like, you see the set people, they're, like, so amazing, all the crew. And you see them moving stuff around, like, kind of in front of you. But then to see it from, like, more of a, like, not bird's eye view, but, like, higher up, you really, like, kind of see how much is happening during the commercials that, like, you're usually, like, offstage changing and stuff. So you don't really see that stuff.
Oh, wait, can you tell everyone about the, like, crazy tabloid story about Beyonce and you?
Oh my God! This is so. I can't believe you remember that. Okay.
What? Why would she forget it?
This Sunday.
What is this?
It's funny.
You can look it up. It's still, I think, online somewhere. Okay. So this Sunday after our season finale, which was my last show of SNL last season, Beyonce had a baby shower. And if you read, there's something like in Entertainment Weekly or something where it's like, it lists like who is there. And it says like so-and-so, Vanessa Bayer and something. And my friend Julie was like, were you at Beyonce's baby shower the day after the finale? And then like 6 weeks later, my mom was like, were you at Beyonce's baby shower? And I don't know what Vanessa it was, but it wasn't me. But like, they never, I mean, I wasn't going to call them and be like, correct. But it's like I'm listed as being at her baby shower. And I just, can you imagine?
No. I like the idea that after those two people that are very close to you ask you, were you at Beyonce's baby shower? You look in the mirror and you're like, was I at Beyonce's baby shower?
Yeah. I was like, oh, maybe I was there.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
Vanessa Bayer, everybody!
Comic is very funny. She is a writer for Drop the Mic on TBS. Please give it up for Eliza Skinner!
Hey. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. To be in New York, in town. I'm in town from LA. Oh my God, that was so nice. Normally I mention LA and people are like, oh, bleh. We hate it. They hate LA is what I'm saying when I tell people I'm from there. Even though I'm like, well, that's my home. Doesn't matter. People will say things about LA that they would never say about your home. No one would ever walk in your home and be like, oh, I could never live here. It's just like, there's no art. I mean, no real art. And the people seem really fake, so they will say that about LA. But I like it. It's fun. It's one thing that keeps happening to me there, I am somehow always victim of surprise movie Q&As. Sounds like some of you have experienced it. If you haven't experienced it, you probably will at some point. You think you're just going to see a movie, and then it ends, and they don't turn the lights on, and somebody drags out a little director's chair. And then a second director's chair. And then a lady in a blazer comes out and goes, we have a real treat for you guys. We actually have the director here, and he's going to answer some questions for us. Mike, how was it tough making that movie? Yeah, sometimes. Wow! Well, now we have time for some questions from the audience. And that is the best part. Because nobody ever asks a question at a Q&A. Just a bunch of people being like, yes, hello, my name is Deborah. I live with my son's brother. I noticed in the film there were instances of light. And there was that scene, I think it was about loneliness. It reminded me of the time that I picked up my friend from the airport, even though I hadn't gone there to pick her up. I was just driving around, but then suddenly there was Marie. Yeah, I am from Florida. Like, what do you think the question was? You know you didn't ask a question. The only time they ask questions are when it's a two-part question. Yeah, I have a two-part question. It's two questions. They're so different. They will sound like they were asked by different people. Okay, great. So first question, what kind of lenses did you use in that scene inside the car? And follow-up, when did you first feel truly known as a man? What are we doing? take an online class. Like, you can't just get it done at a Q&A. I feel like what they're all hoping that the director is going to be like, wait, stop, you. You got a movie in you, kid. And we're going to make it right now. Except you don't have to do any of the hard work or pre-planning, because that's why you haven't done it yet. My favorite movie Q&A I ever went to was after a screening of the movie Precious. So, oh, you remember the movie. Okay. It was great. We watched the movie, and then there was a discussion with the moderator and Lee Daniels and Sapphire, who wrote the novel Push, upon which the movie Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire, was based upon. And they all talked. And then the moderator was like, any questions from the audience? And the first person at the microphone, first person, said, hi, yes, as a white person, I just wanted to say thank you for making this movie. I always try to explain the black experience to my friends, and they, like, don't get it. And now I can just show them this. And me and every other white person in the theater were like, no, 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 no. No, 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 not us, not us, not us. No, 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 no. Oh, no, we do not agree with that. Shut up, you shut up. We are sorry about her. We're sorry. We're sorry about everything. Honestly, we're sorry. We're sorry. We're going to get out of here. We're all going to get out of here. $20. Reparations. Reparations. The government should do this. $20. Such a proud moment. Do you guys have imaginary friends when you were kids? Oh, a couple people over here, yeah. I did. I had an imaginary friend. She was a ballerina and a tennis player. And she had long, wavy, blonde hair. And her name was Anne Susan. And she was a real girl in my class. Who did not like me. So I'd be like, you want to play? And she'd be like, no. And I'd be like, okay, I'll see you later. You guys have been really fun. I'm Eliza Skinner.
Please give it up for Eliza Skinner!
You just heard Eliza Skinner, Vanessa Bayer, and Rebecca O'Neill.
Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Salataroff, Jim Poyant, Paula Schumann, Rachel Neal, Phoebe Robinson, and Jessica Williams. Our team includes Joe Plord, Matt Boynton, Ed Haber, Isaac Jones, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Broski.
And you know, just follow us on Instagram. It's so fun. It's the most fun you'll ever have in your entire life.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter for more info about our upcoming shows.
And until next time, we will smell you later.
YQY.
And CDG.
What about like Christy Yamaguchi, like XD Yamaguchi?
I met her.
Oh, how was she?
She's really cool.
Did you call her XD?